praise God. As you're getting your Bibles, turning to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. Amen. We'll say how good it is to see Pat here today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter number 4, we're going to begin at verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Let's skip on down to verse number 17. We pick up and it reads, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And from verse number 20, I want to take our thought here today. He staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not at the promise of God. Praise God. And I'm simply going to talk to us this morning about that. Stagger not. Amen. Stagger not. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ask the Lord to help us here today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We worship and praise you. We thank you, Jesus. The Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, all I've got here this morning is just simply a thought. And I would say that it's something that I couldn't get away from, but in all reality, I couldn't find anything else. And this kind of all came to me at about 9:15 today. And but I believe that there was a purpose in all of it. I believe that there was a purpose for all of it today. Amen. And I just come this morning to encourage, amen, to encourage somebody. That word stagger, the diankrino in the Greek, just simply means to be divided in one's mind and to hesitate and to doubt. That same word is used in the book of James two different times when it talked about being a double-minded man and wavering. And so that is what is meant here, in that the Lord, through Paul, speaking, and he tells him that Abraham staggered not, that he wavered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Just simply means that he did have unbelief. Amen. That's in reality. And when we look at Abraham's life, we can see that the unbelief is very, very evident. Here we have a man that was at some point in time, the Bible teaches us that he was living in a very pagan country with pagan individuals and such, and the Lord shows up to him and begins to talk to him and tells him that he is to leave his family. If you were to go into the book of Genesis chapter number 12, you would see where that the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, and in these shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, there are a few things that are, I won't say that they are hidden, but you've got to look for some things in order to understand this passage of Scripture. Number one, there are two moments in Abraham's enlightenment in just this little setting right here. Number one, there was the revelation. There was the revelation and the response. And so that is just there, Abraham, the revelation that Abraham got from the Lord as he began to speak to him and began to talk to Abraham about who that he was and what that he would do. And he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. And in you shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. And so this was the statement of faith that Abraham had to walk on. And then finally, the last part of that is, and so the Bible said that Abraham departed. In other words, the second thing here was that he had to step out by faith. He had to have more than a revelation. He had to have more than the enlightenment that was there, but he had to respond to what the Lord had spoken unto him. And so Abraham stepped out in faith to find the path of faith. And it wasn't necessarily a walk of joy. There was many times that we would see that Abraham would probably go back and wish that he had done things a little bit different. I'm just simply saying that Abraham's walk of faith, and the man that God looked down upon and said, Abraham, the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and would take him, and Abraham would have so many regrets in his walk. We also need to note that when God spoke unto Abraham about this in such a powerful way, that Abraham got up, took his wife, and would take his nephew with him, and they would leave the country that they were living in, the country that they were comfortable with, leave the family that they loved, the family that they were comfortable with, and would begin to walk the walk of faith. And God went silent. God went silent. Now, some of us can't walk very far at all. Some of us can hardly make it from Sunday to Sunday, or from Sunday to Wednesday, or from month to month if God got that silent on us. There's a period in Abraham's year, in Abraham's life, that for 24 years, God didn't speak again. He had to go off of what God spoke to him and to know that it. I'm here to tell somebody today that God has talked, and God has dealt, and God has ministered, and God has moved, it's not time to question. It's not time, amen, to reconsider. It's not time to rethink about some things just because that God got silent. Amen. There's something that I use in my life, and it's just simply that we all know it as the will of God. You think about that for a little bit, and the will of God simply means this is what God wants me
to do. It's his will. Why would he take his will and hide it from me? Why would he take his will, amen, put it behind his back and not show me if that's what he wants me to do? Why would he laugh at me and mock me and scorn me and make fun of me when I would miss his will because that he was hiding his will from me to show me what kind of a bumbling idiot that I might be in all of these things? I don't believe that for a second. I believe that the will of God, amen, is what God desires for me. The first thing that I understand in all of this is that God desires me to be saved. Amen. For the Bible teaches us that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If it's not his will that any should perish, then it is his will that we all should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, amen, and he came down and he died for us so that we could have a redeemer and find remission through repentance for our sins. Praise God. Praise God. That's the will of God. God wants you to be saved. But who by the showing of your hands can say, from the moment that I got saved, I've never made a mistake. I've never made any wrongdoings. I've never tripped. I've never fallen. I've never been embarrassed by some of my choices that I made. Amen. I'm telling you what, I put my hand down because that's not me. But every one of us have done things that we wished we could go back and redo again. Every one of us have choices that we wish we could go back and make a different choice. And some of us, if we're honest with ourselves, in the choices that we made, we knew that we were doing the wrong thing when we did it. It's not that we came and said, whoa, how did that happen? I made a wrong choice somewhere. No, chances are you know exactly where you made the wrong decision. But that's not all that it is. There's mistakes, there's trips, and there's blunders, and there's being overcome, and there's different things that happen in life, and there's times that we get wayward, and there's times that we grow slack, and there's times that we grow cold in God. But that doesn't change God's mind about us. Amen. The Bible still says that God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. You don't have to be all the time proud of everything that you've done. You don't have to be all the time proud of every choice that you've made. Amen. You can look and say, I got so many skeletons that are in my closet. Amen. We all do. Amen. But the difference is we got to get back up and we got to just keep on walking. Look at Abraham. He goes into the king of the Philistines and he tells his wife, he said, now here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell him that you're my sister, because if we tell him that you're my wife, he's probably going to kill you, or probably going to kill me, because that you're so beautiful and he's going to want you for himself. And so that's what we're going to do. And so he didn't only do that once. He didn't only do that once. He did it twice. You know, some of us are so hung up on some of the mistakes that we've made and stuff. And you said, yeah, but if I would have only done it once, it would be one thing. But you know what? I have fallen in this and I have given to this thing. Look at what God talks about Abraham and how that he was. But there are so many mistakes that he didn't do just once. He did twice. Or just simply, let's say it like this. He did it again. Let's not put a limitation of numbers upon it. He just simply did it again. That does not mean that all of a sudden that it became right. Let me just tell you, there are things that, how do we want to go about this? Let me just say it like this. There are things that are right, but they're not the will of God. And I can just simply tell you that you can justify whatever you want to justify. And you can say, well, this is the will of God. Or you can say, well, this is right. Tell me what's wrong about it. I may not be able to tell you what's wrong about it. But friend, there is something about the will of God that supersedes even that which is right. Say, give me an example. All right, well, let's go back.
the Lord or the master of the house, he told his servant, he said, I want you to go into the highways and to the byways, and I want you to compel. He said, I want you to go invite these people to come to my house to the marriage supper. And so he went into these people, and this one person first said, I've bought some oxen, and I need to go check them out, and so I'm not going to be able to make it. Is there anything wrong with buying oxen? No. Another one, what did he say? Something about building a house or whatever. Said, I've got to do. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Another one said, well, you know what? I just got married and I'm not going to be able to come. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's not. There's not. But what was right at the moment was that they would go to the marriage supper. And so the master of the house, he got upset. And he said, go into the highways and into the hedges and compel everybody to come that my house may be full. And so they went out there. I'm just simply saying there's times that things, even though that you can justify it and you can say, well, tell me where this is wrong. It's not necessarily that it's wrong. It's just simply that this isn't the will of God. Let's go back to Abraham. And so here is Abraham, and he's walking, and the Lord is telling him, the Lord told him at one period of time, he said, I want you to look upon the sands of the sea and upon the stars of the sky. And if you can number the stars and if you can number the sand, then so shall your seed be. That's exactly how that you're going to be. But yet it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. 24 years later, God finally shows up. But you see, it's almost like Adam. God always shows up at the most inconvenient times. God shows up and Adam has sinned, and Adam's got a very embarrassing moment to talk to God about. Where are you at, Adam? Over here. Why don't you come out? Well, I'd rather not talk about that. Now, he simply said, he's naked. Well, who told you that? So now, the promises of God. We know that the Bible teaches us that the promises of God are yea and amen. We know that God is not a man that he should lie. And so God told Abraham, he said, this is what your seed is going to be like. And Abraham's walking year after year after year, and he says, well, it's not happening. And his wife, almost like Job's wife told him, said, why don't you curse God and die? Well, Abraham's wife told him, said, why don't you take the maiden and have a child by her? I mean, at least you have a child. And so that's what he did. And all of a sudden, here comes God. And Abraham was like, look, let's just forget the whole thing. Why don't you bless Ishmael? Let's just forget it. Just bless Ishmael and let's be done. God said, that's not. You see, I'm just simply saying that there are some moments in our life that are extremely embarrassing. There are moments in our life that we wish that we could go back and make some different choices. There's moments in our life that we wish we could go back and just simply redo. We could take some black duct tape or something and just put over the top of it and just forget it. We could get the magic eraser wand or something and just erase all of that part out of our life. Let me just say that that's not really the will of God. Because when you see your vulnerableness, when you see the ability and the weakness that you possess, and that you're not as strong as you perceived yourself. I'll just tell you this. So my boss, when I was working in the construction field, my boss was not necessarily the greatest of leaders. He had a way of really, really upsetting everybody. And that's not necessarily a good leader quality. And so, you know, there were times that he would come in and he would tell some of my men, you know, who had 20-something years of experience, or even me, or something like that. And he would just look at us and he would say, you're not as good as you think that you are you? That's confidence builder, isn't it? That promotes your ego. I mean, you feel really good. I had so many men that were so mad at him, so many men that threatened to quit and stuff. I'm like, look, he's only around a little while. Just forget it. and stuff. And so it may. But you know what? That's the way that it is. And so when we see our vulnerableness and we see our weakness and we see that our flesh is. Some of you thought that you could get through life and not have as many scars on you as you currently do, not have as many bad memories and regrets as you currently do. And the devil uses those and exploits those and he inserts and injects condemnation into the middle of that. And you can walk around life with your head hung down, amen, for days, for weeks, for years, and not feel like you're not worth 2 cents. Amen. As you heard in the old days, you ain't worth shooting. And you can get that mindset about you. And Abraham could have had that mindset. And Abraham could have said, you know what? Why did you have to show up right now? Why did you have to come around right now? Why didn't you come around 24 years later? Why didn't you come around a little bit earlier? But I just want you to know that God didn't necessarily hold these against Abraham. They made Abraham stronger because Abraham realized, I can't walk unless I'm holding his hand. I can't get from here to there unless God's leading me and God's guiding me. God had told Abraham, he said, everything that you look on, I'm going to give it to you. As far as your eyes can see, I'm going to give it to you. Abraham had to simply get a hold of that promise and say, you know, the promises of God are yea and amen. I'm not yea and amen. I'm not the strong one. I'm not the perfect one. God is the perfect one. And so God sees my fallibleness. God sees my vulnerabilities. God sees my weakness. And for some reason or other, God still loves me. And God still cares. And 24 years later, God's still coming around. Amen. And God's saying, hey, you remember that promise? Let's talk about it for a little while. I'd rather not talk about it, God, because I've made such a mess of everything. I don't even want to talk about the promise. I don't want to hear about the promise. I don't want to bring up the promises that you made unto me. Amen. I've got a lot of embarrassments. I got a lot of these things. Amen. And God said, that's okay if you just continue to lean on me. You just got to continue to lean on me. Amen. God didn't expect you to make it, amen, without any faltering and falls and bumps and bruises and without any scrapes and embarrassments and all of those things. God didn't, but God has this thing called grace. God's got this ingredient called grace. And God's got this other ingredient called mercy. And his mercy is everlasting. His mercies are renewed upon us every morning. And his grace is sufficient. And the Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews that, amen, that the angels desire to look down into what we have. Amen. They don't understand some things. What is it that they don't understand? They don't understand mercy. They don't understand grace. Because the only thing that they know is that one point in time in heaven, you got all these angels, and the next thing you know, bam, a third of them are gone. There's no mercy. There's no grace. It was just simple judgment, and that's all that it was. And now they're looking into this, and they're seeing, wondering maybe how such a wretch like you and I can be so fallible and be so vulnerable and mess up so many times. But yet the grace of God and the mercies of God continue to cover us, and we come running back to God, and we ask him, for his forgiveness. And the Bible teaches us that he is just and able to forgive us. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that we can come boldly before that throne of grace. And God is there, and God's grace is sufficient. And God helps us in the time of need. Oh, let's give God praise today. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We've got things a whole lot easier than Abraham did. But Abraham wasn't sitting there fidgeting with his fingers.
anxious, wondering, where's the next conference? When's the next conference? I need to go to a conference so that I can hear the voice of God. I need to go. When's the next revival? When's the next this? When's the next that? That wasn't there. He just simply had to get up every day and stagger not at the promises of God. Now, this is the unique thing. This is so unique. This is so very, very unique. Our text simply says exactly that. He staggered not at the promise of God. You know what you and I would say? Wait a second. Let's go back and reread that story. Because that's not what happened. So what's the issue? There's this thing called repentance and grace and mercy, and God just wiped it all away. Why? Because Abraham just kept getting back up. It'd be more like this. Abraham, you're going to have a son. You do realize how old I am, don't you, God? Yeah, you're almost 100. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, but you're going to have a son. You know how old Sarah is too, don't you? Yeah, I do. Okay. If you say so. Yeah, that's Abraham. And all of a sudden, morning sickness started coming on and other things started happening. And she started showing she is with child. And Abraham just kept on walking. And the Bible makes the statement that he staggered not at the promise of God. And then it says, but was strong in the faith. That Greek word that is translated here, was strong. A better translation of that seems to be that he was made strong. In other words, Abraham didn't just jump up one day and said, I got this. That's right. He didn't jump up and just say, don't matter what comes my way, I got this. No. It's because of the pressure, the affliction, the doubt. Does it not say unbelief? It's the pressure, the affliction, the doubt, the unbelief. It's all of these things that was working against Abraham was constantly making him stronger. And yet it's the pressure, the unbelief, it's the doubt, and it's all those of the afflictions and all those other things that we wake up and say, can you just leave me alone today? It's all of these things that causes us to mess up. But God looked down and he said, this is making you stronger. And it did. It made him stronger. And so he continued to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. We know that he had his son Isaac. And at this point in time, you know, God had told him, he said, look, he said, I want you to sacrifice your only son. Think about that, because that's what the Bible says. Your only son. In other words, he did not consider Ishmael to be a son of Abraham. He said, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, and go offer him. Well, by this time, Abraham's seen a few things, got a few miles underneath his feet, gone a few places, and so he believes God, even to the point that if this goes through, I believe that God can raise him from the dead. And that's what the scripture says. Some of us need to learn how to trust the Lord. You've got a promise. You've got something that the Lord spoke to you,
and said, you know, this, and then all of a sudden, you know, a few years and time have elapsed by, and you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, because that it hasn't happened, you know, maybe I need to look at something else. Maybe I need to do something else. Maybe I need to go somewhere else. Maybe I need to do, no. God said, you just keep walking the path that I designed for you. Well, does that mean that you're perfect? No, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that I am perfect. But it does mean that God is faithful and that God is just. And so you just got to keep getting back up. And you get back up and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And you stagger not. And say, so God says he stagger not at the promises of God. God said, I choose not to remember all those things that the devil wants to remember. The devil doesn't want to remember all the good things that happened to you. Why isn't he ever reminding you about the good things that happened to you? Why isn't he ever reminding you about all the good things that you did and that the good things that you accomplished and all that? He's not reminding you any of that. And so the Lord's just kind of like saying, you know what? The devil wants to remember all the bad things. I remember all the good things. You know, God chooses what he's going to remember of you. And the Bible says that when you ask for forgiveness, when you repent of your sins, he wipes them away. The Bible says it like this, that he puts my sins behind his back. You know what, figuratively, you know what that means? When you put something behind your back, we use a different little colloquialism that says out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. When you put things behind your back, it's like you forget about it. And that's exactly what the Lord is speaking about here. I'm going to put your sins behind my back. I'm not going to remember them. They're out of sight, out of mind. I'm not thinking on them. I'm not dwelling on them. But yet we choose to dwell on them day after day. And some of us can't get past today. We can't get past tomorrow because of the things that we did yesterday or the things that we did last week or the things that we did last month. And that's just the enemy just continuing to kick us. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for all of us. And he's just and able to forgive us of all of our sins, and not just our sins, but the sins of the entire world. Why? Because it's not his will that any should perish. It's as simple as that. And so he goes through life, got the promise of God, and he's going through life looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And through all of his life, I don't think he ever found that. But what we do know is that he didn't stop. He just kept on keeping on. And he didn't faint and grow weary. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. You've just got to keep on keeping on. And so we look at the father of the faithful and we look at that and say, oh, I wished I could be like Abraham. No, when we go back and see everything that he did, it's like, yeah, but there's a few things I'd like to skip over to as well. Not every picture is perfect. Not every beautiful portrait doesn't have a flaw. And so the Lord impresses upon Paul to write. And he tells Paul as we stand this morning, he says, I want you to write about my friend. I'm sure that there were times that Abraham didn't feel like God even knew him. God's calling him his friend. I want you to write about my friend. And so he starts talking. And now that we've dug into Abraham's life and we've tore back the carpet and we look at the dirt under the rug, now that we've opened up Abraham's closet and threw out a few skeletons, It's easy to point and be critical of Abraham. It's easy to point your finger and say, Abraham, shame on you. You could have done better than that. God, what do you think about that? Let me tell you what I think about it. I made him a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of nations according to that which was spoken. Let me tell you about my friend Abraham. He was not weak in the faith, considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. My friend staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was counted unto him as righteousness. I'm sure Abraham would look around after hearing that and say, I don't really know who he was talking about, but surely it couldn't be me. It's not exactly how I remember myself. There's a lot of days I had doubt, I had unbelief. There was a lot of days I tried to figure out how to make the promise work. A lot of choices I made that were wrong. A lot of embarrassments. A lot of things I wished I could do over. God said, "Nah. The fact of the matter is that you just kept on keeping on. And that's what's important." I believe that's what God wants to talk to this church about this morning. You could go back and you could look at your life and you could say, oh yeah, there's a lot of things that I wished I would have done different. Got a lot of embarrassing times that I hope that nobody knows about. A lot of times that I made the wrong decision. I know I made the wrong decision. If you were honest with yourself, you'd say, nah, I don't really consider myself strong in the faith. I feel too vulnerable. I feel like any little thing could probably knock me over. God's just come to tell you today, it's not his will that any should perish. And even in your weakened condition, if you've got faith in God, that's what's necessary. God counted it as righteousness. Amen. So I'm opening up these altars here today. Come on, don't stagger. Don't stagger. Just got to keep on keeping on. Things may not have gone the way that you thought that they should go. Things probably didn't happen the way that you thought that they should happen. We're definitely not okay with all the choices that we've made, but yet there's a God who is the epitome of faithfulness. When he could have left us, he didn't. When he should have left us, he didn't. All the mistakes that I made, he hung around. The embarrassments that I had, he stayed faithful. We're not justifying sin. Not justifying the wrong decisions. I have to live with those things. But somehow through it all, God sees beyond all of that. He knows that I can make it.